Psalm 124 says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, when they that swallowed us up quick with their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us, the streams had gone over our soul, the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who had not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Father, bless your word tonight. Help us, God, just to see in it something that helps us. Lord, as you've given us a message from this passage of Scripture, that's to help us and to encourage us. And Lord, may we always be reminded, if it had not been for the Lord in every situation, there'd be no hope for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This psalm is a psalm of ascent. It's one of the group of psalms, of 14 psalms, I believe it is, or 16 psalms that are called the psalms of ascent. They're psalms that would be sung as the pilgrims were traveling to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice or for one of the required services that they were required to be there for during the course of the year. And as they approached Jerusalem and started the ascent to the mount where Jerusalem was situated, they would begin to sing these psalms of ascent that gave glory and praise and honor unto God. It was also said that the priests, as they climbed the steps to the temple, would sing these psalms in praise to the name of God. And I tell you, God is worthy of all our praise all the time. Amen. And when we stand afar off and we look and we begin to ponder the things that God has in store for us, the things that God has planned for us, the things that God has promised us, we should be up off of our feet, off of our seats, on our feet, shouting and appraising Him for His goodness to us. From afar off, I see Calvary. I wasn't there, but through the mind's eye, I can see what happened that dreadful day on that old rugged cross as the God of all creation gave Himself a ransom and a sacrifice for my sins, and they nailed Him there, and He suffered there, and He paid the price of my sin. That's something to praise Him about. Amen. When I think of the promises that He's gave me in His Word, that He would never leave me nor forsake me, and not one time in my life, not one situation that I've ever been in, not one place I've ever found myself, can I say that God has forsaken me. There's been times that I've forsaken Him, but I found that it was always just as close as the mention of His name. And praise God, that's something worth praising Him about tonight. Amen. When I think of how He said He's gone to prepare a place, and if He's going to go and prepare a place, He's going to come again. Amen. There's a home prepared for me. I've never seen it, but I've read about it. Amen. I can't even begin to visualize it. It's so magnificent. But I've seen it through my mind's eye, as puny as I am, as a human being, as finite as my foresight can be. I've got a vision of what God has prepared for me. And let me tell you something, it's something worth praising Him about tonight. Did you wake up this morning? It's something worth praising Him for. Amen. Did you have plenty to eat today? It's something worth praising Him for, isn't it? Amen. When that storm came by here a little while ago, and it was just dumping water like crazy, did you have a... I'll get her. Yeah. You want to preach with me a while? Amen. When that storm come by, Did you have a place to shelter you and to keep you from the rain? This winter, this past winter, was you kept warm in the winter? Do you have a place that you can lay your head down at night and be in peace and know that you're forever sheltered and you're ever kept, you're ever provided for, because God loves you and God has given you everything that you need? Praise His name. That's something worth praising Him about. Amen. You see a little one like this. Amen. It's precious to be able to have little ones in your church and be able to love them. And I know that as they grow and they grow to love you, I got to bribe them sometimes to like me. Amen. But I pray that one day they grow to love me. Amen. And it's just a blessing. This is something worth praising God for. Amen. That's something worth getting. We was in a church one time, and I'm going to tell you, Sister Sherry can back me up. A little baby sitting over there hadn't even made a noise that I can remember here, and she was only sitting two rows up from us on the other side. Hadn't even made a peep. And the preacher stopped right in the middle of the service and says, somebody needs to show this lady where the nursery is and take that child out of here. He says, y'all ought to need to tell these women when they come in here to take them children to the nursery. Praise God, I want them in the service. Amen. I want to hear this little one when I'm preaching. And she starts praising God. She does. Amen. She'll praise God. She'll worship a little bit. And she'll let you know about your bad self. If you want to get your praise on, just watch this baby. Amen. She knows all about it. And she knows me. And she loves me. I think she loves me. Don't you love me, honey? Amen. Praise God. I'm glad she does. She ain't screaming. Amen. She ain't hollering. And she'll stick her hand out and shake my hand. I love her to death, but I praise God for these little ones. Amen. I praise God for each child that's in the service. Each child that makes a little bit of noise. Each child that maybe upsets our norm and helps us to realize that it's not all about us. And it's not all about a form and a fashion and service. It's just all about worshiping God and being thankful for everything that He's given us. He's worth praise. Amen. Amen. Just to be able to come to a place like this, when we have the privilege to praise Him without worrying about the police busting in the back door. Amen. Amen. Brother Robbie Mullinax has been smuggling Bibles into China for years. In the last couple of years, he said, it's really got bad and it's really got hard. We see all over the internet of the persecution of the real church in China, the underground church, how they're being rounded up, their churches are being destroyed, pastors are being imprisoned. We can come to church unimpeded. Look around you. Who cares? Amen. I'm here tonight. I have the privilege of worshiping Him tonight. That's something worth praising Him by. Amen. That's something worth looking and seeing what God has blessed us with. See, these psalms of ascent were meant to get us in the frame of mind of just seeing God for truly who He is. In Psalm 124, as the psalmist begins, the first two verses, he says, if it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, aren't you thankful that we can look back and we can see the times that if it had not been the Lord, there'd be no hope for us. Have you ever been in a situation, you ever been in a circumstance? Maybe it was a surefire accident. I've told you many a times about that old milk truck coming by. And for the life of me to this day, I don't know how me and that milk truck got past one another up there on Kirk's Mill Road without me being splattered into a million pieces. The only thing I can say, if it hadn't been for the Lord. Amen. If it hadn't been for the Lord. Yeah, you ever been in situations like that and you say, man, if it hadn't been for the Lord, I don't know what would have happened. Amen. If it hadn't been for the Lord, there'd be no hope. If it hadn't been for the Lord, there'd be no help for me. If it hadn't been for the Lord, I don't know what I'd have done. I'm thankful that we can look back and say, if it hadn't been for the Lord. Amen. Yeah, stop and think about this. And if you've never had one of these situations, let me tell you this. You can look back and say, if it hadn't been for the Lord's mercy. When man sinned in the Garden of Eden. Amen. 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 There'd be no hope for mankind. Mankind would not even exist as we know it today. God would have been just and God would have been right in his own holiness had he taken man when man had sinned and cast him directly into the lake of fire to annihilate the human race, to have annihilated mankind. You know what prevented God from doing that? His mercy. His mercy extended. His mercy seen man's failure. His mercy seen man's shortcomings. His mercy seen that man was not going to be able to do this on his own. And he slew an animal and he covered man in his sin. He hid his sin from his eyes. He hid his sin from him by the blood of an innocent animal. And he covered their sin. And he didn't destroy them. He didn't throw them in hell. But praise God, he made them a promise that one day sin would be defeated. Why did he do that? Because he's a merciful God. Had it not been for the mercy of God, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight preaching this message. We wouldn't be sitting here tonight with the privilege of worshiping him because of his mercy. Had not been for the long suffering of the Lord, man's rebellion would have already doomed us. But in Isaiah, the Lord said, "For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." God said, "Look, I'm not doing this on your behalf. I'm doing this because of who I am." Amen. I'm going to extend my patience. I'm going to extend my long suffering just a little bit further. "And for my praise will I refrain for thee." Because of who I am. Because I'm worthy of praise. I'm worthy to be worshipped because I'm a long-suffering God. Every time God's people have rebelled, God has been long-suffering. God has given them every opportunity. How many times have we sinned and God still holds out the welcome mat of mercy to us to come before his throne and to seek forgiveness, to seek cleansing? How many times have we sinned and God says, "You know, you need to get it right," and we reject it. "And you know, you need to get this right," and we reject it. "You know, you need to take care of this," and we refused. And we've rebelled for what God has told us to do. How many times has God told you to do something and you didn't do it? He's like the parent that spoils the child sometimes. He's long suffering. He don't count to 10. He counts to 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 to the 10th power or something like that. I don't know. His long suffering is unfathomable. I can't understand how he puts up with us sometimes. But he does. For his praise and for his glory. If it had not been for the long suffering of God, man, look at who he had to deal with. Look at who he... Go back and read your Bible. Hey, man. And we find fault with, man, look at that. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe they'd have done that. I can't believe them children of Israel acted like that. I can't believe that Jacob acted the way that he did. I can't believe that Esau sold his birthright. I can't believe that this one did this. I can't believe that David would have sinned with Bathsheba after all that God had done for him. Why not? You do the same things. Hey, man. Why not? You're just as guilty. Hey, man. Why not? We're just as big a problem in rebelling against God. Maybe our rebellion is different. Maybe our rebellion's in different manner, but it don't matter. Rebellion is rebellion. Disobedience is disobedience. But he's so long-suffering to us. Amen. He's long-suffering to us, and he says he doesn't do it for our benefit. He does it because of his praise. You know, that tells us that we need to praise him. Amen. Amen. We need to use this psalm of ascent to see that if it had not been for the Lord's long suffering, we wouldn't be here tonight doing some praising. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. If it had not been for the omniscience of God. Sometimes, and we touched on this some this morning, I think, in our message. Sometimes we wonder why God doesn't do things in our time. We wonder why God doesn't do things according to our plan. We don't always understand, and we don't always know. Why did God tell the children of Israel not to mingle with those in the promised land when they got there? Because he knew what was going to happen. Amen. Why did God tell Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? Because he knew what was going to happen. Amen. Why does God tell the Christian in the New Testament you're bought with a price, you're not your own, and what fellowship have righteousness and holiness and godliness with the things of this world? He said, come out from among them and be a separate people. Why does God say that? Because he knows what happens when we don't. Amen. He knows what happens when we try to intermingle with the world, and we try to keep one foot in the world and one foot in church. It just don't work, folks. It just don't work, because God knows what's going to happen. He said, you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. Amen. You'll cling to one and despise the other. You see, we look back, and isn't it amazing how hindsight's 20/20? Amen. He said, man, if I could just have that 20/20 foresight, just like I got that 20/20 hindsight, well, as a child of God, you do. Amen. You know what you're talking about? You got the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Not only do you have the Word of God, you got the promise of the Spirit of God, and you got the promise that the Spirit of God will direct you in all truth. Any Christian that tells me they found themselves in a sinful situation and didn't know how they got there and didn't know they was getting there is telling me a lie. Not only are they sinning because they got there, they're sinning because they're lying about getting there. That's pretty poor, I'm telling you. Amen, preacher, that's truth right there. Jesus said he would send the Spirit of truth who would guide us and lead us into all truth. He's not going to lead us in the paths of sin. He's not going to lead us down the road of unrighteousness. He's not going to take us down that broad and expansive way that leads to destruction. And if you find yourself on that places, in that way, and on that path, you got there because you did not listen to the Holy Spirit. You got there because you disobeyed His Word. You got there because you did everything contrary to what He wanted to do. Amen. You know why? Because he knew better. Amen. You know, they say power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely or completely. When man partook of that fruit in the Garden of Eden, that fruit of good and knowledge, he was given power that corrupted, and it corrupted him absolutely. Amen. Because now he knew the difference. All he had to do before was just trust God. God already knows what's happening down the road. God already knows what's in the future. God already knows what's going to. He already knows the plans he has. He already knows what's going to happen. Listen to what he said in Isaiah. He said, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there's none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. We wonder sometimes, what is God thinking? What is he doing? It don't matter. Just continue doing what he says to do. Amen. Just continue. Trust in him. Why? Because he's omnipotent, all-powerful, but he's omniscient, he's all-knowing. He said, I've told the things that are going to happen that have not even happened yet from times of old. He said, I've already proclaimed the things that are going to happen. Just trust Him. Amen. Amen. Man, knowing that we can trust Him and knowing that He has what the psalmist said there this morning, my times are in your hand. Knowing that He has plans for His people. Knowing that He's made preparations for us. And all we got to do is trust Him. And trust His timing. Man, that's something worth praising Him about. Amen. Amen. Had it not been for God's omniscience, there wouldn't have been a lamb prepared. The lamb already slain before the foundation of the world. Before man fell in the garden, God wouldn't have had a plan of salvation already in place. God couldn't promise Adam and Eve right there in Genesis chapter 3 that the tempter, that old serpent, Apollyon, the devil, Satan himself, would be dealt a death blow that he couldn't sustain. But he did. Because he already knew. He did because he already had a plan. He did because he already knows the end from the beginning. And praise God, I've got a trifle with that rascal while I'm here in this world. But one day he tells me I'm going to get to see him cast into the lake of fire. One day I'm going to get to see his final demise. One day I'm going to get to see his complete defeat. One day I'm going to get to see that he will never, 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 ever afflict God's people again. And had it not been for God looking ahead in time and making a plan for our salvation and our deliverance, where would we be? All is praise Him for that. If it had not been for God's grace, there would be no salvation. See, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Amen. Had it not been for God's grace, there would have been no sacrifice. Had it not been for God's grace, there would have been no son. Had it not been for God's grace, there would be no plan of salvation. For by grace are ye saved through faith. You're going to get what you don't deserve because you didn't get what you do deserve. Amen. It's by grace and by grace alone that God saves us, because He gives us what we're unworthy of, undeserving of. Nowhere in all the annals of mankind would anyone be found, and could anyone be found, that would be a substitute for mankind. And God gave us the greatest gift that the world has ever known. The greatest gift the world has ever conceived. We think of over in India, we see one of the most magnificent buildings that was ever created, the Taj Mahal. And if you read about the Taj Mahal and some of the things that are in this building, it's just absolutely, positively beyond comprehension. They say when you see it, its beauty just, it's, and all it is, it's a tomb. It's a tomb for a man's bride. The most magnificent structure that you could ever imagine. The craftsmanship and the workmanship in it is unequaled anywhere in the world. I mean, they say, Brother Brian Pratt said he's seen it. He said, it's just amazing. He was describing some of the things in it to me. And when Brother Brian's here, get him to describe it to you. He can tell you in great depth and detail some of the intricate work that's there. All because a man loved his wife. But let me tell you something. Nobody ever gave to us what God has given to us. Nobody has ever done for us what God could do for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's grace. Even though we were undeserving, while we were yet sinners, He gave His Son. That's grace. And even though we may reject Him the first time He speaks to our heart, He comes back again and He speaks to our heart again. And He comes back again and He speaks to our heart again. And He comes back again and He speaks to our heart again. And He deals with us and deals with us. That's grace. And friends, we can praise Him tonight, because had it not been for grace, had it not been for God's grace, there'd be no plan of salvation. There'd be no hope of salvation. And lastly, you need to understand something. The fabric that holds all these things together is God's love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 16 tells us, for God is love. The root of God's holiness, the root of God's mercy, the root of God's grace, the root of God's judgments, the root of God's salvation, the root of everything that God does stems from the very fact that He is the definition of love. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Romans 5 and 8, John, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We worship Him. We praise Him. We lift up His name because we love Him. But 1 John 4:19 says, we do this. We love Him. We do this because what He did first, He first loved us. Amen. Why is He worthy to be praised? Because He loved us first. Why is He worthy to be praised? Because He loved us enough to bestow grace upon us. Why is He so worthy to be praised? Because even though He knew that man would sin, He prepared a plan of salvation. Why does He love us so much that He's so patient and long-suffering with us, even when we rebel? Always worthy to be praised. His mercy, Psalm 136, all 24 verses, I think it is, end with, for His mercy endureth forever. Every verse. For His mercy endureth forever. Not 136. What did I say? Did I say 124 or 136? 136 or 138. His mercy endureth forever. You know what? He's worthy to be praised. For had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, had it not been for the Lord who was with us, even when we didn't know Him, He knew us. even when we were not aware of Him. Even when our great, 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 great grandparents couldn't even conceive of us, He already did. And He already loved us. And I don't know about you tonight, church, but that's a reason to praise Him. So stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. You need to come and just bow in an old fashioned.